Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Irvin Daf Gimel, on Daf Beis Amud Beis. The last two words, Elamei Ata. If this is the case, what is the Gemara referring to? We're going back to Rav, who gave us the reason for the halacha found in the Mishnah, which is that a kira, which is the crossbeam situated over the entranceway to the Mavi. So the Mavi is that U-shaped alleyway adjacent to Shesarabim. So this Mavi is technically a Shesayachid, and one can carry within this Mavi. The Chacham were concerned, however, that one may confuse the Mavi with Shesarabim, which it's right next to. And if you're carrying the Mavi, this may lead him to carry even the Shesarabim. So they required one to make a separation, to call attention to the separateness of the Mavi from Shesarabim. So one of the methods is the Kaira, placing a beam across the entranceway to the Mavi. One takes a look at that Kaira, it appears like he's entering a new Makam, a new Rishus. So it creates that entranceway, that Pesach to the Mavi, and it separates the Mavi from Shesarabim. Now the Mishnah told us the Mavi, the Kaira actually can't be higher than 20 Amma. Rav explained, the reason for that is because we learned from the Pesach of the Heichal, from the entranceway to the Heichal, which was no higher than 20 Amma. So we learned from there that the concept of Pesach, the entranceway, is only if it conforms to these guidelines. It can't be too high. If it's too high, then it's no longer an entranceway. It's merely like a pirtza, it's like a breach in the wall. And it doesn't create that separating entity between the Rishus Rabim and the Mavi. One enters the Mavi in this manner, it appears like he's just continuing in the same entity, in the same Rishus. It doesn't appear like he's entering a new area. So Rav told us the source of this halacha is the Heichal, the Pesach Heichal, which was 20 Amas high. Says the Gemara, Elam Yata, if this is the case, that the source of this halacha is from the Heichal, so Maltra is some sort of creative design which is featured on the Kaira. So even if the Kaira has some designs on it, which call attention to it, attract attention, it wouldn't help it. It wouldn't allow it to be placed too high up. Why is that? Because we find that even the Heichal featured that. It had some sort of creativity attached to it, featured on the top of the doorway. Nevertheless, they only built it at a maximum of 20 amas high. So we see that the fact that it attracts attention doesn't help matters, because 20 amas is an absolute dimension. A Pesach which is higher than 20 is no longer regarded as a Pesach. Now what's the kasha? Because Rav taught us elsewhere that if a Kaira has some designs on it which call attention to it, you can place it as high as you want. So this in a nutshell is the Gemara coming up. So again, Elam Yata, if this is the case that the halach of 20 amos is learned from Heichal, let's say Hamelea Malcha. These designs should not benefit the Kaira in any way. Because the Heichal had a Malcha. Nevertheless, even though it had the Amalcha, Eshrim Amma Hudu Gavaya, it was still only 20 amos high. So we see that Amalcha doesn't help matters. That's not as we learned. Chamish Amalcha Shal Mila Hayu Al Gabav. There were five of these beams of Mila, some type of cedar it appears like. So the doorway had these five beams. Hayu Al Gabav. Zu Lamala Mazu. One on top of each other. It seems like they were progressively longer. One on top of the other. The higher one was longer than the bottom one, etc. So it had these designs on top of the doorway. Nevertheless, it was only built at a height of 20. So you see that designs don't help matters. Says the Gemara, behind my tiyufta, what kind of kash is it? Dilma ki tanya hida maltrois, bu'ulam tanya. Perhaps this Mishnah describing the designs, the creativity which was present on top of the doorway, was discussing the ulam. So it's describing the entrance to the ulam, which is the room leading into the heichal, but not to the heichal itself. Again, Dilma ki tanya, perhaps that Mishnah which describes the Amatrois, bu'ulam tanya, and not by the Heichal. Says more about hai my kushya. Okay, but what kind of kashya is this? Dilma tavnes Heichal ki tavnes ulam, perhaps. I think more is assuming that this is probably what happened, that the tavnes Heichal, the design, the structure of the Heichal ki tavnes ulam, was similar, duplicated the design of the ulam. They were one right next to each other. So we assume that both doorways were fashioned in a similar manner. So if the Heichal also had these amaltrois, these designs, these features on top of the doorway, why could they not build the Heichal higher than 20? Why didn't they match the dimension of the entranceway to the Heichal with the dimension of the Ulam, which was much higher than 20, which was actually 40? So if we see that the Heichal, despite the fact that it featured these designs, it still wasn't able to be built higher than 20. Likewise, when it comes to the Kaira, to the Mavi, which is learned from the Heichal, you can't build it higher than 20, even if it has those designs. If so, Allah Ma'amar Rabbi Lo Amar Rav. Why did Rabbi Lo teach us the name of Rav? He taught us two halachas, actually two leniencies when it comes to a Kaira. The Mishnah later tells us that a Kaira is meant to resemble a beam which is part of the structure of the Mavi. So it looks like part of the actual construction. So it needs to be something of significance. It has to be durable, able to support a brick on it. Now, Rav tells us two things. Ruchava dalet afa b'she'ena bria. That if this Kaira is very wide, it's four tfachim wide, that gives it added significance due to its width. Afa b'she'ena bria. Even though it's not strong enough, the material doesn't have the ability to sustain a brick on it, that's sufficient because of its size. That's number one. Number two, he told us, v'im yesh la maltra, if the Kaira has some sort of design which attracts attention, afilu gevoya yoyser me'esrim amo eino tzorach l'mayit. In that case, even if the Kaira is placed above 20 amos, you don't need to bring it down. So we seem to have a kasha here. How could Rav tell us that in this case the Kaira could be placed very high if Rav himself learns from Pesach HaHeichal, where we see that although it featured the Amaltra, it attracted attention due to its uniqueness. Nevertheless, it couldn't be placed higher than 20 because the sheer dimension of a Pesach is a maximum of 20 amos in height. So we have a kasha from one Rav onto the other. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Amaltra Masnisi. This halacha of Amaltra, meaning that a Kaira which has designs, can be placed higher than 20, it's not Rav, it's a misquote, it's actually a Braisa. Man ketanei lo, who taught it? Perhaps it's unreliable. And therefore we can't ask a kasha. Amar Abaye, it is reliable. V'ha Rav Chama breide rabba baravu ketanei lo. He was the one who taught it, so it's reliable. V'tehavi amalchim asnisa. Let's say it's a Braisa. Meaning, let's say it's not Rav who actually taught it, it's a Braisa. But this will be a kasha, v'tekshila Rav. This halacha contained in the Braisa, which is a reliable Braisa, will be a kasha on Rav, because we see clearly that when it has designs, you can place it higher than 20. Apparently, the reason for the shear of Esrim Amo is unrelated to Heichal, because otherwise, we wouldn't be able to lift the Kaira above 20 under any circumstance. So this indeed is a kasha on Rav, who tells us that the source, the basis for 20 Amo is Heichal. Continues the Gemara, Omelech Rav. So Rav will respond as follows. Dal anomihacha. You know what? Remove me from the scene. Take me out of the equation. Pretend I didn't say anything. But let's remember, there's a braisa, we learned this in our base, that tells us, seems to tell us, that the shear of 20 amos is taken from the heichal. The braisa says, about 15 lines from the bottom, it says, the mavi shu gavoyim mechaf amo, yoyisim epischu shaleichal yamait. If it's above 20, which is higher than the dimension of the entranceway to the heichal, you must pull it down. So the Braisa itself indicates that the source of 20 is the Heichal. So again says the Gemara, remove me from here. Take me out of the picture. Mas naisa. Milakashin hadadi. Do the Braisas not contradict each other? Because here we have the Braisa that connects 20 to Heichal, which seems to be telling us that that indeed is the source. And here we have a Braisa which tells us that if the Kaira has a Amaltra, features those designs, you can place it above 20, apparently. The halacha of 20 is not derived from Heichal. Because if it were to be derived from Heichal, Amaltra wouldn't help things, just as we find by the Heichal. It wasn't placed above 20, although it featured Amaltra. So Rav will tell us, what do you want from me? The braises themselves are self-contradictory. Ela mai yisloch lemeimar. So you must say, Tanoi. Indeed, it's a machlokes Tanoi. How to approach things. The earlier braisa maintained that the reason for 20 is the Heichal. And the latter braisa number two, apparently holds it's unrelated to Heichal. And therefore he allows lifting the Kaira above 21 and a half, something which attracts attention, which is unlike, it's not similar to the Heichel. So it's a Machlaikas Tanaim. And according to me, it's also Machlaikas Tanaim, meaning I adopted the view of the first Tana, who relates 22 Heichel. And indeed, I'm not following the second Tana. So it's not a kasha on me personally. Apparently, there is a Machlaikas Tanaim, there are two perspectives on the Halacha of 20 Amma of the Mavi. The first Tana derives it from Heichel, and the second Tana does not. Continues Zigmar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Veloy Rav, if not for Rav presenting the source of 20 being connected to Heichel, if not for that, we would never had a kasha. Masnaisa hadodi like kasha. The two brises, brisa number one, which makes mention of Heichel, and brisa number two, which gives that allowance to lift the kira if it has a malcha, those two brises are not akasha, one another. Why? L'rabbanan kira taimamai. Because what is the reason that the rabbanan don't allow the kira to be placed above 20? Nothing to do with Heichel. Mishumei kira. So that it be noticeable, be visible. So that one is aware, one notices it. It's within one's field of vision if it's within 20. That is the reason for the limitation of 20, unrelated to Heichel. V'haydik Tani, Yosem Pisa Shel Heichel. Why then does Bryson number 1 mention that thing with Heichel? That if it's above 20, which is higher than the Heichel entranceway, it's no good. Why related to the Heichel if it's unrelated to Heichel? Simon Ba'alma. The Bryson maintains that the reason why it can't be placed higher than 20 because it's out of one's vision. It's not noticeable. And the point, the entire purpose of the Kaira, is to call attention to the separateness of the Mavi. It's meant to be noticeable and visible easily. If it's too high, one won't notice it. And you've missed the point of the Kaira. Therefore, you must place it within 20. The reason why the Braisa mentions Heichel is Simona Ba'alma, simply trying to give you a way to remember a formula. So you remember, number 20, the simon is, it's like the Pesach of Heichel, but really, it's not based on the same concept. It's not based on the same principle. So this is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's approach, that the shear of 20 is not some sort of halachic formula, which is required to create a Pesach. That was Rav's approach. Rav said, we need a shear of Pesach. We need to conform to the dimensions of an entranceway. It needs to be a halachically valid entranceway, which is up until 20, which is learned from the Heichel. According to him, you can't lift the Kaira, even if it has designs which attract attention to it. Because at the end of the day, the entranceway is higher than 20. It's not a Pesach. Whereas Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's approach is totally different. He says, the point of 20, so that it's visible, that it's noticeable, that it calls attention to the fact that you're entering a new Rishus. This is not Rishus HaRavim. And this accomplishes the purpose that the Chacham were trying to do. If it's above 20, it defeats the purpose, it's not noticeable. But if that Kira is designed with some sort of feature which attracts special attention, like the Amaltra, in this case, it can be placed even higher, because there will be Heker. It will be noticeable and visible. Let's take a look at Rashi right here off to the side. On the right side, the words Beloy Rav is the beginning of Rashi here, Beloy Rav. So this is Rav Nachman responding. If not for Rav, the whole kasha would have never began. Eloi have a mafarish Rav lemasnisa kamaisa. If not for the fact that Rav explained the brisa number 1, v'yolof mino, and he learned from it the Rabbanon Meichel Gamri, that the Rabbanon who gave us the limit of 20 learned from Meichel. If not for that, there would never have been any difficulty. Masnisa hadodi loy kasha. The brisa number 1, which mentions Heichel, and brisa number 2, which allows lifting the kira due to the fact that it has those designs, it would never have been any kasha, one or the other. The bein lahi masnisin, ubein loha masnisin amalcha, between both brises. Why? Kira l'rabbana tamamai. Why did Chacham require bo toy chaf amma? Why they require it to be within 20 amma? Mishum heker. The lechsu inshi, so people will notice. Veleidu the takanta of it. They will know that there was a tikkun done. There was an adjustment done to the mavoi, but loy laisi lachlifi, which is a rabbi, and nobody will come to confuse things, mix the mavoi up, which is a rabbi, they'll see that it's a separate entity. That is the exact reason why amatra helps. They give it the mistaki of inshi, since people notice it, attracts attention. Even if it's placed way up beyond 20 amas, there's still noticeability and visibility, and it accomplishes the purpose. If so, we have one thing to answer. Why does Braisa number one make mention of Heichel? Why does the first Braisa mention Yois and Pisul Shel Heichel? Love the Gamri Mehasam, not because we learned the concept from there. It's related to Heichel. El Simon Ba'almanaka. The Braisa is merely using a simon, a way to remember. Shle Tachlev Girsa the Eshem. You shouldn't confuse the number 20 of a timer Lamala Malamid or Me'arbaim and substitute it with 30 or 40. So I'll give you a way to remember. Yehi Pesach Heichel Simon B'yotcha. So have in your hands a way to remember, which is the size of the Heichel, which was 20 Amis. So again, in summary, according to Rav, the source of 20 is Heichel. And therefore, we do not allow Almatra to change things. Whereas Rav Nachman's approach is that the point is Heker should be visible, noticeable. And if it's extra noticeable, it has these designs attached to it, you can place it even higher than 20. Continues the Gemara. Now, if you remember, we began the Masechta with a quote from Masechta Sukkah. We find a similar discussion. A sukkah which is above 20 is possible, contributed to its kasher. Now, there is one approach in the Gemara that the reason for the sukkah being possible above 20 is for the same exact reason that Rav Nachman Yitzchak just told us. Because of Heker, because above 20, it's beyond the person's range of vision. One doesn't notice the schach if it's too high up when he's sitting in the sukkah. Says Gemara, if so, why do we need both discussions? Why does the Mishnah need to present us with the halacha of sukkah and the halacha of mavi? In both cases, similar halacha, similar shita, similar machlekes. Why that repetition? If they're both based on the same concept, that according to Tanakama, we need 20 and no more, so it be visible, contribute even higher is okay. Why that repetition? Says Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, according to this approach, that the reason for Erevin, the reason for mavi, being within 20 is on account of visibility. Ha nicha. We can understand. If he does not concur with Rabba's approach, which was the reason why a sukkah needs to be within 20, because it should be noticeable. If he doesn't agree with that approach, then fine. Then it's based on a different reason, as discussed in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. And the two concepts, the two topics of sukkah and mavi are totally unrelated, and therefore the Mishnah repeats them. Elo isvir lehad Rabba. But if Rav Nachman holds like Rabba, that the reason for sukkah is also based on the same concept. D'amar Rabba, k'siv l'man yedudu reseichem. So your generations should know and be aware when they sit in the sukkah, ki basukkah seishavti, that I've sat you in sukkahs when I took you out of Mitzrayim, meaning this is a drasha, that when we sit in the sukkah, we're meant to be aware, meant to notice the schach, pay attention to it, and realize what's happening. And the shir is as follows, ad esrim abba, until 20, meaning if the schach is up to 20, adam yideh shadar b'sukkah, a person, when he's sitting in the sukkah, notices, it's within his range of vision. So he notices the schach, he realizes, I'm sitting in a sukkah, and he's aware of the nes that Hashem did, l'malam esrim abba, but if the sukkah is too high up, it's above 20, ain't adam yideh, a person is not aware, he's not conscious of the fact that he's sitting in a sukkah, m'shum deloy sholta be'ena, because a person's eye doesn't really reach that high. Ordinarily speaking, a person doesn't lift his head up, way up in the air, and he doesn't notice it. He's not readily aware of the fact that he is sitting in a sukkah. Alma gabi sukkah nami. Be'ekeir pligi, apparently. The machlek is by sukkah. We did Tanakam, who gives us a limit of 20. Arab Yehuda over there as well, who tells us it can be above 20, is based on the concept of heker, of noticeability and visibility and awareness. If so, we have a kash, if lugi b'tati lami. Why do they need to have the machlekes in both cases, by sukkah and by mavi, which are based on the same concept? Why that repetition? Says the Gemara, we need to discuss them both independently, because perhaps there's room to differentiate, to make a distinction between one topic and the other. And therefore, the Mishnah needs to present us with both halachas. Tzricha, they're both needed. Yashmin and gabi sukkah, because if the Mishnah only teaches us the halacha of sukkah, I would say perhaps, it is only by sukkah where Rabbi Yehuda maintains that even a sach above 20 is okay, even the lishiva vidah, since a sukkah is meant to be sat in, shalta be'ena, so while a person is sitting, he tends to browse around, he's going to notice a sach despite its height. Aval mavi de lehiluch avid, however, a mavi which is meant as a walkthrough, generally when people walk, they don't lift their eyes way up to the sky. Perhaps a bit would agree to the Rabbanan, that if it's beyond 20, it's already beyond one normal field of vision, and he won't notice it. Therefore, a Yehuda would agree to the limitation of 20. And that's why the Mishnah has to tell us no. That even by Mavi, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he allows a cur to be way up in the air. Apparently, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even an elevated kura is noticeable. V'yash mina b'ha. And the same in the reverse. If the Mishnah would teach us the halacha by Mavi, perhaps I would say b'ha kami rabbanon. It is only over here that rabbanon give us the limit of 20. Because while a person is walking, he doesn't generally notice something high up in the air. Ava b'hach. But by sukkah ema, perhaps I would say moidulei the rabbiuda, they will give to rabbiuda, that one is in a, when one is in a sitting position, he will notice something more easily, even if it's up in the air. Perhaps they would agree to rabbiuda that a schach which is beyond 20 is fine. Tzricha, that's why the mission needs to present us both topics, sukkah and mavi, to teach us that there is machlekes by both of them. Continues the Gemara. So we discuss the amaltra, which is present on the Kaira. Maya Maltra, how exactly do we describe this design? We have two approaches. Rav Chama Breid Rabba Baravu Amar Kini. These are designs which resemble bird nests. They're highly unusual and attract attention. Ki Asur Rav Dimi Amar, when he came, he said, Amri Marava, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they explained, Piski or Paski de Arza, pieces of poles, of erez, of cedar, which are attached to that kura, and somehow they also attract attention. Says the Gemara, "Mando ama piski de arza." The view that translated as pieces of cedar. So if he holds that this is attractive, this attracts attention. Koshkin kini, certainly if they're designs resembling bird nests, which are highly unusual and make a splash, attract attention. Of course, that would benefit the kura and would allow it to be placed way up in the air. However, Madame Kini, the Shita that explained it to be bird nests, Aval Piski de Arzeloi. He holds that merely having pieces of cedar there are not sufficient to attract attention and do not benefit us in any way. Says Ro Madame Piski de Arzel. According to the Shita that holds that pieces of cedar are sufficient, why are they machshir the kura which is up in the air? It's not something unusual. It's not something which makes waves. My time, because it's long and it's noticeable due to its size. So if that's the reason, so why does this only help by a kura? What about by sukkah? The schach, which is up in the air, sukkah is very long, it's wide. So why can't you place it up in the air due to its size? For a sukkah, the nafish mishche, it is also large in size, it's long and wide. The rabbanon hold that a schach can only be placed within 20. Why is schach different? Ella says, more rather, the reason why the piski de arza, which are on the kaira, help us. Ella kiven de kachoshev, not due to its size. Because if that's the case, why is sukkah different? The reason here is because it's elegant and it's expensive due to its value, kachoshev, due to its significance, its prominence. It's like color. It makes waves. It attracts attention. People notice it. Oh, look at those elegant, expensive pieces of wood sitting up in the air by the kura. So it's something which attracts attention, and therefore it allows placement of the kura above 20 amah. So in summary, regarding the halacha of a kura, which needs to be at a maximum of 20 amah, we have two approaches. What is the reason for this halacha? Rav says, we learn from the Pesach HaHechel, that an entranceway cannot be higher than 20 amah. According to Rav, even if the kura has a maltra designs, it doesn't help matters. Because, at the end of the day, the entranceway cannot be higher than 20 amma. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak's approach, the reason for a kura being placed at 20 amma is simply so that it's visible, it's noticeable to the passerby. According to him, if there's another way to attract attention, like placing the amaltra on it, we have two translations, either kini, bird nest, or piski de arzi, pieces of cedar, so these things attract attention. In this case, the kura can be placed even higher than 20 amma, since it will have heker and will be noticeable. Continues the Gemara. What if we have the kura partially below 20 amma and partially above the 20 mark? Same by schach. If it's partly below the 20 mark, partly above the 20 mark, is it kasha? We're going to have a four-way machlokes. Says the Gemara, Mixas kura b'seich eshrim, if part of the kura is within 20, and it's kosher, or mixas kura l'malam eshrim, a part of it is above 20, beyond the dimensions. Mixes schach b'sheich eshrim, if part of the schach is within 20, or mixes schach l'mal eshrim, a part of it is above 20. So it's half in, half out. What is the halacha? Amar Rava, b'movi kosher. Concerning the kohen and the movi, it would be fine. B'sukkah pasul, but the schach which is built in this manner is considered to be pasul. Says Amar, what is the difference between one and the other? Ma'ishna b'movi de kosher. Why do you say that a movi is kosher? That means a kloish. Because we say, listen, shave it off. Let's view the portion that's above the 20 mark as if it's non-existent. And we just reckon with the part that's within 20. And which is fine. If so, sukkah nami, lebe klosh, the same concept can be applied to the sach of sukkah. Just ignore the part that's above 20 and use the part that's below 20, which is kosher. Says the Gemara, ikalshus. But if you do that to the sukkah, you know what's going to happen? Havi l'chamosam rubim metzalsa. If you remove the top portion, visually, you imagine as though the top portion is missing, then the thin layer of schach, which is below 20, is too thin to be effective because the wind could simply come, blow it away, blow it apart, and result in more sun than shade protruding through that schach. Havi l'chamosa, it's sunshade, it's sunlight, is merubim metzilsa, more than the shade. So you can't use this type of schach. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, the same problem will apply to Koira. If you imagine as though the top portion of the Koira has been removed, so the bottom layer, the flimsy bottom layer, which is in 20, is just a flimsy Koira, which is, can be removed through the wind. The wind can blow it away. And the Koira, which is meant to resemble a beam, part of the structure of the Mavi, is meant to be something solid. Something of significance. It can't be something which theoretically the wind can simply blow it away. So if you apply this problem, if you say that removal of the top portion creates a problem by schach, the same thing will apply to kaira. How could you differentiate between one or the other? El al karchach. Rather, you must say that this problem doesn't exist. Nasu kishvudin shamateches. That we view even the bottom layer of the kaira as though it's shvudin shamateches, means rods of metal, meaning at the end of the day, that bottom level is not going to fly away. The wind can't chase it away because it's being supported by the weight of the portion of the kohen above it, which is below, above 20. So although it's not a valid kohen, but in any case, it's supporting the bottom layer. It's keeping it in place. It's maintaining its position. So although you can't halachically use the top portion of the kohen, which is beyond 20, but it is still supporting and maintaining the position of the bottom portion of the kohen within 20. Therefore, you can use it. If that's the case, say the same thing by schach. Hachanami, here as well, al korach nasis losim rubim mechamsa. He must say that ultimately there's more shade than sun, meaning at the end of the day, the top portion of the schach, which is beyond 20, is keeping the bottom layer in place, keeping it in position, which results in more shade than chama. Nasis silosa, its shade is greater than its sunlight, and it should be kosher. So the point here is, how can you be mechalik? How can you differentiate between the mavoi and the schach? If it's kosher, it's kosher by both. If it's pasul, it's pasul by both. Omar Rav and Parzika, I'll explain to you the differentiation. Sukkah de l'yachati, sukkah which is meant for individual, sitting himself in the sukkah, there's a concern that perhaps the bottom portion of the schach, which is the kosher part, within 20, is going to dry up, disintegrate, and he won't pay attention to it. He'll come to use his sukkah even when it's not kosher. Sukkah l'yachad ilay mitke, he won't remember, he won't pay attention to the state of a schach, and therefore we don't allow him to use it. So although in its present state, it's kosher, we're concerned perhaps things will disintegrate, deteriorate, and he won't pay attention to it. As opposed to a mavi, which is a publicly used thoroughfare, mavi de l'rabim, it's meant for public walkthrough, mitke adadi, since there are so many people, they're going to remind each other. And they'll keep an eye on the kohen to make sure that there's always a portion below 20. They'll make sure that it doesn't rot, it doesn't disintegrate, and it always maintains its proper status. So that's why a mavi is kosher and a sukkah is pasul. It's a chashash from the rabbanan. Ravin Amar, he has a different approach to explain the difference between one and the other. Sukkah d'oraisa, sukkah which is a mitzvah d'atorah, achmir rabban wa machmer. Again, perhaps the concern is that its things will deteriorate and become invalid. So the Chacham were concerned because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So they didn't allow using the schach, which is half and half out. Mavi de Rabbanon, Mavi, which is Mili, and then the Rabbanon, La Achmiru Rabbanon, Chacham were not so stringent and allowed use of this type of Kur. So according to this approach to the Gemara, a Mavi, which has a Kur half in, half out, partially below 20, partially above 20, is kosher. When the same thing happens to Schach of a Sukkah, it's possible. Continues the Gemara, Rav Ado Bar Masna, Masna Lohashmaita de Rabba. He taught, he learned this halacha of Rabba Ifcha, in the reverse. Amar Rabba, b'mavi posel, b'sukkah k'shera. So when we have the kur in the mavi, it's posel in this manner, as opposed to sukkah, which will be kasha. So he switched things around. The one will ask, basically using the same kasha as before, but just in the reverse. Ma'ishno sukkah d'k'shera, why do you say by sukkah it's kasha? That means a klesh, because you view the top portion of a schach, which is above 20, which is not kasha, as though it's shaved off and not around. B'mavi nami, lebe klesh, the same thing we can do to a mavi. Shave off the top of the kura, consider it to be non-existent, and merely use the bottom portion. Says Gemara, cautious. But if you do that, havi la kura and tell us baruch. It's a thin, flimsy kura which can be blown away by the wind, and it's ineffective. So you can't say that. Hachanami, but if so, by sukkah as well, cautious. If you remove the top portion of the schach, havi la chamasimir b'tzilsa, the wind could come along, blow around the flimsy bottom layer, and create more sun than shade. So if you imagine the top portion as though it's not present, the bottom portion isn't effective. Says the Gemara, El Al-Karch, so you must say, Nasis Tzlosim Rubim Mechamsa, that ultimately there's more sun than, more shade than sun due to the fact that the upper level of the Schach is maintaining the bottom level in place. Hachanami, if that's the case, by Sukkah, apply the same thing to Mavi. Al-Karch Nasu Kishvun Shumateches. Let's view the bottom layer of the Kari as though it's metal. It's durable. It's not going anywhere because the top portion is maintaining and keeping it in place. So how can you differentiate between sukkah and mavi? Amar Rav and Prazika, I'll explain to you the difference. Sukkah de l'yachati, he's going to say similar svaris, but now in the reverse. Sukkah de l'yachati, sukkah which is intended for individual personal use. Right, man, afshay, person is conscientious. He'll take responsibility. Keep an eye on his schach, make sure it always maintains its kashrus. Raman Avshei pays attention to Mitkar, and he remembers. He's aware, and he pays attention to keep his sukkah in shape. Mavi de l'rabim hi, a mavi which is meant to be used by many. Many people using the same area, they're going to rely on each other. It's something unreliable. We can't be sure, we can't be certain, that this kaira will be maintained properly. Samchi adodi. If there are many people, they rely on each other. Nobody takes responsibility for Mitkri, and they don't remember, they won't recall. They won't pay attention to keep the kur in place. The am inshi, just as people say, kedera de reshutfe, if you have a pot which belongs to two people, it's never in the right, never has the right temperature. Lo chamima v'lo krira, it's never hot or cold. So if they want it to get hot, it never gets hot because they rely on each other to heat it up, and it never happens. The same thing if they want it to get cold, it never happens because they rely on each other. So when it comes to many people, there's a concern that this kur will not be maintained properly, and therefore, when it comes to sukkah, we allow use of this schach, which is half, partially below 20, partially above 20. He'll pay attention to it and maintain its kashrus. As opposed to mavi, we're concerned that perhaps the bottom portion of the kur, which is within 20, will rot, will disintegrate, and they'll continue using it as is. Ravin Omar, I have a different approach. Sukkah d'araisa. Since sukkah is a mitzvah d'araisa, like by chizak, there's no need to support, to reinforce the mitzvah d'araisa. People are very careful about mitzvah d'araisa, therefore there's no reason for chachamim to apply a chumrah, to be overly concerned. The person will pay attention to the schach, make sure he maintains it properly. As opposed to the mavi d'rabbanon, ba'i chizak, it's something which perhaps somebody, people have a tendency to perhaps relax in, it's only d'rabbanon. So if the chacham are overly concerned, it needs chizak, it needs to be reinforced. So if the chacham are concerned, perhaps people will not be careful enough with this kira. And that explains the difference between sukkah with a chacham allowed use of this type of schach as opposed to mavi, when the chacham did not allow the use of this kura. It says, my havela, what was the conclusion to this halacha? If we have a kura or schach, which is partially below, partially above, can we use it or not? Rabba bar Avula Omar, zev zeh posel. In both cases, it's posel. Apparently, he adopts the stringent approach. He takes the svara, which says Mavi is possible, and also the Svar, which says Sukkah is possible. Rav Amar just the opposite. Ze v'ze kasher. In both cases, it is kasher. Why? Says Rava, this concept that a kohen needs to be within 20 or schach below 20, it's a misconception. When we speak about 20, we're not speaking about the position of the schach or the mavi of the kohen. We're speaking about the chalal, the gap, the space, the living area below the kohen, below the schach. As long as the space from floor to ceiling, meaning from floor to the bottom surface of the schach, or the bottom surface of the kohen is 20 or less, then you're okay. Rav Amar, Zev Zeh Kosher, Chalal Sukkah Tanan. When the Mishnah speaks about 20, we're speaking about the Chalal of the Sukkah. The usage area, the space, the interior space from the schach to the floor. Chalal Mavi Tanan. When we speak about the Mavi being 20 and no more, we're speaking about the Chalal of the Mavi. This space from floor to kohen. The kohen can be placed right above the 20 mark. The schach can be placed right above the 20 mark. There's no need for them to be hanging below 20. Therefore, Rabbi says, certainly it's kosher, because if it's within 20, even part of it is within 20, there's no question. It doesn't even need to be within 20 at all, as long as the space, the gap, the interior area from floor to the bottom surface of that ma of that kohen, or the bottom surface of that sukkah, is 20 or less, you're okay. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. I'll bring your raya to your approach. Tanya the Messiah. There's a brisa which supports you. Mavi should gavaya me'esrim amma. If a mavi is higher than 20, yoisim pisach lechel, higher than the entranceway to the hechel, you might. You must minimize the size of that entranceway. Now, if we compare it to the hechel, let's take a look at the hechel. The hechel in itself had a halal. Its entranceway was 20. The space from floor to the doorpost on top was 20. So we see that the discussion of the shear of 20 relates to the entranceway. As long as you can enter an area which is no higher than 20, then you're okay. Continues the Gemara. Esveir of Simi Barav Ashi Rav Papa. So you ask the Makasha, how can you say that the Shear 20 relates to the Chalal? We have a Braisa which indicates otherwise. This is a Tesefta. Ketzad, who Oisa? How does a person construct his Koira on the Mavoi? Maniach Koira, Misfas Esrim Lamata. He places the Koira from the 20 mark below. So he places it from the 20 on down. Apparently, it needs to be within 20. Says Gemara Ema. Read as follows. Interpret as follows. Ulamalo. It can be placed at 0.20 and above. Meaning as long as it's resting at the 20 mark, you're okay, even though the kohen really extends above. Says Gemara, how can you say Lamalo? For Lamata Ktani, the Braisa clearly says Lamata. Says the Gemara. The word Lamata here is not a reference to the kohen, which is placed at 20. The point here is to teach us another halacha. We know that there's a minimum as well. Just as there's a maximum, it can't be beyond 20, the kohen can't be placed within 10 tefachim to the ground below. And the Braisa is teaching us that when we speak about 10 tefachim, it needs to be a chalal of 10 tefachim. You need to have a space of 10 tefachim from floor to the bottom surface of the kohen. So you need to place the kohen at a minimum on top of that 10 tefach mark to allow a space below it between the kohen to the floor of 10 tefachim. So that's the point of the Braisa here. How come Mashman, the Braisa is teaching us, the Lamata Kalamala, that the same concept that applies Lamala up at the 20 mark, applies Lamata down at the 10 mark. Lamata Kalamala, the minimum, has the same din as the maximum. What does that mean? Ma Lamala Chalala Esrim. Just as the shear on top, meaning the maximum, the 20 Amas shear, is in reference to the Chalal Esrim, the space of 20. So as long as there's a space between floor to the kohen, to the bottom surface of the kohen, which is 20 or less, you're okay. Af lamata chalal asor. Likewise, when we speak about the shir lamata, the minimum down below, which is 10 tefachim, you need to have a chalal of asor. You need to have a space of 10. You need to allow a space of 10 tefachim from the ground below to the bottom surface of the kohen. But certainly, when we give shiurim of 10 tefachim, of 20 tefachim, we're not speaking about placing the kohen within 20, but rather we're speaking about the space, the dimensions of the gap, of the area, of the halal, of the entranceway. And as long as it's 20 or less, it is kosher. So in summary, when we have a kaira or schach, which is partially below 20, what is the halacha? In the first version of Rava, a mavi would be kosher. Why? Because it's used by many who remind each other and carry responsibility. Another reason is because it's merely drabbanon, and the chacham were not so concerned to make a gzera to disallow the use, as opposed to a sukkah where it's possible, because it's merely used by an individual who not necessarily will pay attention or remember to maintain the status of a schach. Another reason is because it's a rais and the chacham were concerned and didn't allow its use. According to the second version of Rabbah, it's just the opposite. When it comes to the kaira by mavi, it's possible because it's used by many who rely on each other, don't take responsibility, or because it's a din derabbanan which requires reinforcement, as opposed to a sukkah where it's kasha because it's meant for individual use who pay attention to the state of a schach, or because it's a din deraisa which does not require reinforcement. According to Rabbah Bar Avhula, in both cases it's possible. According to Rabbah, in both cases it's kasha, because Rabbah tells us, he introduces us a new concept, that the shear of 20 is not where the kaira needs to be. It's the halal. We're speaking about the total area of the entranceway. As long as it's not more than 20, it is kasher. The same thing applies to sukkah. As long as the living space of the sukkah is no more than 20 in height, it is kasher. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abayi Mishmei Rav Nachman. When we come to measure something with an amma, we have two ways to measure an amma. It can either consist of five tefachim, so a tefach is a fistful, it's four its boys width. So it can either be consisting of five tefachim or of six tefachim. There's uncertainty as to how we're meant to use an amma, how we're meant to measure an amma. Therefore, says Abaye Nin Rav Nachman, we call the chumra. We apply it in a stringent manner. And we use whichever amma results in a greater stringency. Amar Abaye Mishmei Rav Nachman. Amas sukkah v'amas mavi, when we measure the amma by a sukkah, for instance, the height of the sukkah, which is a maximum of 20 amas, v'amas mavi, for instance, the height of the mavi, which is a maximum of 20 amas, v'amas chamisha. In this case, we're going to use the amma which consists of 5 tefachim, which is a chumrah, because if the sukkah is merely 20 amas high, small amas, it already reached its maximum. So, in this case, it's a chumrah. Amas kelaim, in contrast to the amma which is employed by the halacha of kelaim, which means mixing planting two species together. In that case, when we measure using an amma, we use a larger size amma, but amma mas shisha, we use an amma which contains 6 tefachim, which will result in a chumrah. So since it's a safek, which one to use, we apply the amma which results in a chumrah. Explains the Gemara. Amas mavi, ba amma bas chamisha. Well, he just said that when it comes to measuring the amma of a mavi, we apply the smaller size amma, the amma that consists of 5 tefachim, l'mayi chasa. How exactly are you applying this? What are you measuring? L'goivai, for instance, the height of the mavi. So once you've reached 20 ammas, small size ammas, that's it, that's the maximum. So it's a chumrah, because you're using small ammas. Or l'piritzis mavi. Or when it comes to the breach in the mavi, we know that a break in the wall, which is wider than 10 ammas, is considered to be a piritza, it nullifies the mechitza. So there as well, we're going to measure using small size ammas, which is a chumrah. Because once we have the shear of more than 10 ammas, even using small ammas, you've already reached at a piritza, it has a din of a breach, so it's a chumrah to use small ammas. Says the Gemara, but there's one case in mavi, where if you use small ammas, it's actually going to result in a kula leniency. What is that? Va'ika meshech mavi ba'arba amis. Delakula. What is the minimum length of a mavi to enable a lechi v'kor to be applied to it? We're going to learn this later in the Gemara. It is a minimum of 4 amis in length. Now, in this case, using small size amis which contain only 5 fachim, results in a kula. Because we require only a shorter mavi, one which consists of 4 small amis. So it's a kula here. How can you apply a small amma? Says Mar Kamanda Omar, Ba'abot Fachim. Apparently, Rav Nachman does not hold that the minimum length of a mavi is 4 ammas. Rather, he holds like the shita that gives us a minimum of 4 tefachim, in which case, the concept of amma doesn't apply altogether. Yibayisema, or another teretz, Ba'arba ammas. Yes, indeed, he holds that the length of a mavi, the minimum needs to be 4 ammas. V'rav ammas kamar. Where Rav Nachman tells us that we apply the smaller size amma to measuring a mavi, he means the majority of applications at a mavi will come out a chumrah if you use small size ammas. But certainly, in the event which where it results in a kula, such as measuring the minimum length of a mavi, in that case, certainly we're going to apply a large size amma, and we require four ammas of the larger ammas, the six tefach ammas. Continues the Gemara. Ammas sukkah. Bama mas chamisha. You told me that we measure sukkah using a small size amma, the amma that contains five tefach. How exactly do we apply this? L'goiva. For instance, measuring the height of the sukkah. So once you reach at the point of 20 ammas, even using small ammas, that is the maximum height of a sukkah, so it's a chumra. U'ladoif nakumah. Or when it comes to measuring the Daif and Akuma, Rashi describes it as being Schach Pasel, which is set at the perimeter of the roof. So all around the sides of the Schach, you have invalid Schach. So the halacha is halacha Meshem Sinai, that if the width of this Schach is less than 4 amos, then it's okay, because we view the wall of the Sukkah as though it's bending over and reaching until you get to the Schach Kasha, which is in the middle. So that allows you to sit under the Schach Kasha. So the halacha Daif and Akuma is dependent on a 4 amma measurement. So here as well, we're going to use what type of amma? The small size amma. We're only going to allow the Schach Pasel if it is less than 4 ammas, the small size ammas. That's a chumra. So we understand that in both of these applications, whether the height of the sukkah, which is 20 amos, or the width of the pasel schach, which creates that crooked wall, which is 4 amos, we understand that applying a small amma results in a chumra. Says the Gemara, but there's one scenario in sukkah where applying a small amma will result in a leniency. Va'ika meshach sukkah, the width, the dimension of the sukkah, the width and the length of the sukkah is be'arba amos, which is measured using 4 amos. Delekula. In this case, using a small amma is a kula, because you only require 4 amos, the small amos. The Sani, as we learned, Rabbi Oymani, I hold kol sukkah she'im bo dalad amos al dalad amos psula. A sukkah which does not have a dimension of 4 amos length by 4 amos wide is possible. So applying a small amma in this case is a kula. How can you do that? So it's more Rabbanon. Apparently Rav Nachman holds like the Rabbanon that don't apply amos to the size of a sukkah. The amri, they say afilu, even if it's very small in size, afilu ina machzek is el roishay, even if it only contains, it's large enough for a person's head, Virubi and most of his body, Vishulchan, his table, which is a total of 7 tfachim, that is sufficient for the size of sukkah. So according to this approach, we don't measure the width and length of a sukkah using amos, so it's irrelevant. Viboy same, alternatively, Loilam Rebbe, Rav Nachman holds like Rebbe, that a sukkah needs to be 4x4 amos. Viroiv amos kamar, when he told us that we apply these small amos to sukkah, he meant in most cases, certainly in this case, we cannot apply a small amma. Rather, we use a large size amma to measure the minimum dimension of a sukkah. We need 4 large size ammas. What about amas kalayim, b'amma bas shisha? When he said that we apply the amma bas shisha to kalayim, what did he mean? L'ma yachasa. What does this mean? L'karachas ha-kerem u'lumachal ha-kerem. Karachas ha-kerem is a bald area inside the kerem, inside the vineyard. So it's a empty space within the vines. U'lumachal ha-kerem is an empty space surrounding the vineyard, between the vineyard and the fence. We're going to learn the details coming up. This is not as we learned. Karachas ha-kerem. How large must this empty space inside the vineyard be to allow planting some other species within it? Veshame oimim esrim ba'arba amma. Needs to be at least 24 amos. Esrim ba'arba amos. Otherwise, you can't plant anything else within it. It appears like it's mixed with the vineyard. Veshame oimim sheshes amos. As long as you have 16 amos, you're okay. Machal ha-kerem, what is that? Besham oimim, so that's the space between the vineyard and the fence. How large area must that be to allow planting within it? Besham oimim, 16 amos, as long as it's 16 amos, you're okay. Besham oimim, 12 amos, you'd have at least 12 amos. Ezi karachas ha-kerem, what is karachas ha-kerem? Kerem shacharem tz'isoy. So the middle of the kerem got destroyed, uprooted. You have a gap there, a space there. So according to Beis Hillel, you need a minimum of 16 amos to allow planting within that area. If there are no 16 amos there, lo yavi zera l'sham, you can't plant anything else in it. But if there were 16 amos there, noisen lo yavi dosa, so you shave off 4 amos and attribute it, attach it to the vineyard. That's the avoid that needed for the avoid the tending of the vineyard. That's considered to be a bottle part of the vineyard. You can't plant there. Vezarei samoisan, you can plant in the rest of the area. So that's the halacha of karachas ha-kerem. What is that? Ben kerem legeder, empty space between the kerem, the vineyard, and the gader, the fence surrounding it. So according to Beis Hillel, you need a minimum of 12 amas to allow planting there. Ein sham shtei mesre amah. If there are less than 12 amas there, lo yavizeh l'sham, I can't plant anything else there. If you have 12 amas there, so you deduct 4 amas, which is considered the makam avoida, the place which is needed to as a service area for the kerem. You can't plant there. And he plants in the rest, the 8 remaining amas. So in this case, you measure with amas, and we apply what type of amas, what size amas, the large size amas, amabas shishat fachem, which results in a chumrah. You need a much greater, much larger area. So for instance, when you're measuring 16 amas or 12 amas, you need 16 large amas to allow planting within this area. Says the Gemara, but there's one scenario by Kelaim, in which case it comes out a leniency. If we use large amas, for ikar ritzufim barba amas, dilakula. There's a halacha of ritzufim, if the rows are too close to each other. They're meant to have a distance of 4 amas to allow the service people to come through. But if they're planted in close proximity within 4 amis, Rav Shimon maintains it doesn't have the status of a vineyard. So in this case, using large size amis results in a kula, a leniency. Why? Because according to Rav Shimon, if they're planted too close to each other, if you don't have a distance of 4 amis, 4 large size amis, it is not regarded as a kerem, and you allow planting there. So in this case, using a large ama results in a kula. How can you do that? Again, va'ikar ritzufim. These are the rows planted too close to each other by Abba Amis. When we apply the concept of Abba Amis, the Lekula, it results in a Kula, this Nan. Kerem Anatua Al Pachas Ma Abba Amis. If the vineyard, the rows were planted in an arrangement where they were within 4 Amis of each other, Rav Shimon Ami, any Kerem, it doesn't have the status of a Kerem. And you don't need to distance yourself. The Shear, which is generally required by a Kerem, the Chamayim Kerem. Chum say, yes, it is a kerem. Why? We visualize the ones in the middle which are causing the crowning. Kilu einam, as though they're non-existent because they're slated for removal. So the kashi area is according to Rav Shimon. If there are less than 4 amas between the rows, it doesn't have a din of a kerem. And if you apply a large size amma, it's going to be a kula here. Says my Rabbanim. Rav Nachan apparently holds like the Rabbanim, who does not hold of this concept of 4 amas between the vines creating a problem. Kerabana, the Ami have a kerem. They hold that irrelevant of the distance, it's a kerem. Viboyesema, another pshat. Loilum kerb shimon. Certainly, Rav Nachman holds a kerb shimon that the rows are too close to each other. That doesn't constitute a legally valid kerem. Viroiv amas kamer. However, when he said that when we measure kalayim, we use a large size amma, he meant in most cases, meaning only when it results in a chumra. But in the case of the ritzufim, certainly we're going to apply a small size amma. So this is a Abaye's approach in the name of Rav Nachman. We have 2 types of amos, one which consists of 5 fachim, one which consists of 6 fachim. Continues the Gemara. V'Rava, Mishmei de Rav Nachman Amar, he taught in the name of Rav Nachman a bit differently. Kol amos, ba'ama bas shisha, all amos consist of 6 fachim. But there are larger size amos, and there are smaller size amos. How? Ela halalu seichakos, the larger size amos, employ and consist of Tfachim, which are seichakos, which are loose, which are smiling, meaning the fingers are loosely configured next to each other, which results in a larger size amma. Falalu atzeves, and the smaller size ammas, they're consisting of tfachim, which are measured atzeves, sad ones, constricted, meaning the fingers tightly fastened next to each other, which results in a smaller size amma. And how do we measure ammas? Which one do we apply? Depending on the situation, it must result in a chumra, in accordance with Abaye's formula. So by Mavi and by Sukkah, we apply the smaller size amma, and by Kalaim, the larger size amma. So in summary, regarding a sheer amma, we learned the name of Nachman, we always go to the chumra. According to Abaye, when it comes to Sukkah and Mavi, we use a 5 tefach amma, by Kalaim, a 6 tefach amma. According to Rava, the tefach always has 6 tefachim. By Mavi and Sukkah, we use the sad amma, the smaller one. And by Kalaim, the happy one, the broader one. In time for a brief review of today's daf, we began discussing the maximum height of a mavi, which is 20 amos. We have 2 approaches. Rav says, we learn from the Pesach of Heichal. And therefore, even if it has a design and attracts attention, it can't go higher than 20. According to Nachman Yitzchak, the point is visibility and noticeability from Heker. So if it has some sort of design which attracts attention, it can be even way up in the air. We learned about a kaira or schach, which is within partially within 20, according to Rabbah in the first version, when it comes to mavi, it's kosher, sukkah is pasul. The second version of Rabbah was just the reverse. Mavi is pasul, sukkah is kosher. According to Rabbah Arvula, in both cases, it's pasul. According to Rabbah, in both cases, it's kosher, because the gap, it's the halal that we're speaking about. The Gemara concluded, we have two ways of measuring an amma, and we always go with the chumrah.